Good morning to you all. We are between a number of sedras, all of which I hope to bring in, starting actually from Vayeshev, and then a little bit of Vayigash, Vayechi, Shemais. There is a theme there that I'd like to bring out. My shiur this morning is from the writings of Rabbi Yitzchok Hutner in the Pachad Yitzchok, and this particular one is Maimer Memtes in Chelek of Pesach. And he begins by telling us that there is a curious factor about the Misa of Yosef, because he is unique in that his Misa is mentioned at the end of this week's Sedra, end of Vayechi, and is also mentioned at the beginning of Shemois. The psukim are in our Sedra in Vayechi, Vayomos Yosef, Bemeyav Eser Shono, Vayechamto Oiso, Vayisim Be'orim Be'mitzrayim. And then in Shemois, it says in general, Vayomos Yosef, Bechol Echov, Bechol Hadoi Ahu. So it is unique in that he is the only one that is mentioned twice, both in Bereshis, Sefer Bereshis, and also in Shemois. And what we're going to do, and I'll tell you what the conclusion of our shiur will be, that we always think that there are three Ovos, Rom, Yitzchok, and Yaakov. In fact, the Gemara calls it that. Yeah, Shlosha Ovos, we are, and in the song, Shlosha Ovos. But in fact, what Rav Hutner Tutoyf is that, in fact, there was a fourth Av. And this fourth Av is going to turn out to be Yosef HaTzadik. So he has this unique concept associated with him that his Misa is mentioned twice. And the Maharal says that Yosef Hikdim Lovoi Lemitzrayim Mitnei Ma'alosoi. Yosef had a certain Maila, and that he was sent to Mitzrayim through all sorts of shenanigans, as we know all the stories, that Rabbeinu Shalom wanted him to go to Mitzrayim and, so to speak, prepare the way for Klal Yisrael, for the Shvatim later, and then Klal Yisrael. And the question is, what is this Maila that we're talking about, Mitnei Ma'alosoi, and how is it associated with Golos Mitzrayim? Somehow or other, the two are intimately connected. So we have with the Ovos the idea of three. Three being Avraham Avinu contributes something to the future Klal Yisrael. Yitzchok, of course. Yaakov is the Hashlama. Yaakov completes the whole of the set, and therefore we have something which is called Klal Yisrael. And each of the Ovos, we must understand, contributes something to the structure of Klal Yisrael, to the foundation and the formation of Klal Yisrael. Everyone adds a very, very important critical shlav in order to make up the whole mosaic, which is Klal Yisrael. And in fact, Yosef as well has a component and a contribution in a sort of certain dimension. And with that, with the Ovos and Yosef, we then have the complete kiyum of Klal Yisrael. Otherwise, as I shall show, that is possibly a little bit shaky. So the first thing to mention in relation to Yosef is that through Yosef, all the Shvatim come together. He is the ma'ached, he is the factor that brings all the Shvatim together. And he, because B'nei Asher Rochel, we all B'nei Asher Rochel, he is the Ma'ached, and Bereishis Rabbah talks about it, that the Yosef is that factor that somehow unites all the Shvatim in a certain way. So because he unites the Shvatim in a certain way, this is the first idea that I'm going to put to you, that he becomes an Av, just like all the other Ovos unite the Shvatim together, unite Klal Yisrael together, so also does Yosef. But there's a special posuk, a posuk in Vayetze, and it says as follows: Vayetze, where Yaakov is with Lavan, and we understand and know the stories very well with Yaakov and Lavan. There comes a point when Yaakov decides it is time to go. What is that point? I'll read you the posuk. Pasuk steht also, Vayhi kashe yoldo Rochel is Yosef, when Rochel gave birth to Yosef, Vayome Yaakov el Lovon Shalcheni. This seems to be the tipping point where Yaakov decides it's time to strike out on my own. When is that point? When Yosef is born. And Yaakov now has, if you may put it in sort of modern language, Yaakov seems to have the confidence and the protection against Esau, because of course he was there because he was on the run from Esau. That's how he got there in the first place. And now he seems to have the confidence and feels he has the protection against Esau. Why? The Pasuk tells us, because Yosef is born. So he connects the birth with Shalcheni, and he becomes what's called the Sitnoi Shel Esau. He becomes the foil, the one who can do battle with Esau and obviously win, okay, and survive. This is a very important point. And we all know, we had it in Haftorah a couple of weeks ago, in Oivadia, V'hoyo beis Yaakov eish, u'beis Yosef l'hova, u'beis Esau l'kash. So Yosef becomes the l'hova, the torch. What is a torch? It's a fiery flame which you take from the main fire. The main fire is situated somewhere, it doesn't move. But the lahava, the flame that you take out of the fire, that can move wherever you like. It can give you light, it can give you protection. So it's something that has the hispashtus, yeah, the spreading out. The extension of the fire is the lahav. And that's what Yosef represents. Yosef represents the fire of Yaakov with its hispashtus, with the fact that now it can work from afar. Without a torch, without this fire, without this flame, fire only has effect in its immediate surroundings. You feel the heat of the fire, but you can walk away and the fire has no longer any influence. And this is what Yosef supplies, and this is what Ovadia is talking about. So from the birth of Yosef onwards, Yaakov is assured that the Ribbono Shel Olam will protect him, and now wants to return to the land of his fathers, Eretz Canaan. And Chazal tell us that in fact Yosef is the Hashlomo of the Ovadia, Hashlomo of Yaakov, and thereby he creates the Sitnoi Shel Esau. Now, how does Yosef contribute to the Kiyum of Klal Yisrael, as we mentioned before? Let's go through the Ovis and talk about it in terms of the way Rav Huttner puts it. He's got it a few times in various of his Sforim, some idea that he has about the Ovis and how it works and how they all contribute. And he says it as follows. Avraham Avinu is the first Ger. He's the first person who wasn't a Yid and now becomes a Yid. So he's the first Ger. He puts it in his way, the Eshter Gevorna, the first one who became Yid. Yitzchok, Kodesh Mirechem, Nimel Leshmoina, the first one, Kodesh Mirechem, and he's the first Geborna. So the first Yid who is a Geborna Yid is Yitzchok, and he's got all the trappings of being a Yid, Nimel Leshmoina. And so the Eshter Geborna. Now you'll have to help me here if you're very good at Yiddish, because I get stuck on this particular word and the next word that's coming for Yaakov. And I've asked people who are expert in Yiddish, nobody can help me, so I'll make a suggestion. There's Yaakov, his merit is mitosoi shalema. Mitosoi shalema means that all his children were tzaddikim. For all the other Ovis, all the other two Ovis, you know, they were wayward children. There's Yishmael in the first place, and then we have Esau in the second place, and son of Yitzchak, and therefore there is no Hashlomo there. There's no completeness of Klal Yisrael. Yaakov is the first one that actually produces a full set of tzaddikim as children, and we seem to have Klal Yisrael all in order now. So we've got the contributions of those who become Geirim, from Avraham Avinu, Gevorna, that's perfectly kosher Yid. We've got Yitzchak, who was born as a fully fledged Yid, Nimel Ishmoina, Kodesh Berechem, and now we've got, but it's still not complete, because we have an Esau after that, And then we have Yaakov, Mitos Shleimo. So that seems to make our nation pretty watertight. Yeah, we have all, we've covered all the angles. And let's just now sort of digress for a moment with the way we started. Yosef's whole life is in Bereishis. There's no part of Yosef's life except the Misa of Yosef in that pasuk. The whole of the life of Yosef is contained in Sefer Bereishis. And therefore, in order to invoke the principle of Masa Ovo Sim Lebonim, there's something about Yosef that we need for the Hashlom of Klal Yisrael. Just like we say Masa Ovo Sim Lebonim for Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and the Sforim, you know, tell us a lot about it. Avraham davened here, Yitzchak davened there, Beis HaMikdash, Masa Ovo Sim Lebonim, it goes on all the time, and then we will inherit or reenact what the Ovis did later on in Klal Yisrael when we're forming a nation in the Midbar. But there's something as well that we require from Yosef, which is also Masa Ovis Sim Lebonim, that is very, very important to us. So it's part of the binyan of Klal Yisrael. And therefore, what Yosef must add is just as the Ovis add, contribute a guarantee for the Kiyum of Klal Yisrael, there must be something in the behavior of Yosef that also does that as well. So let's have a look at what it is. So what does Yaakov contribute to the security of our nation? When a Yid has a family, that this family produces children and all the children are Jewish. Yeah? We didn't have like a Yitzchak who had an Esau, etc. All the family. So in other words, that's what the contribution is. That Klal Yisrael, when they produce children, the offspring, the Doiris Aboim, are all Yidden. And that's very important for us. As we said, and therefore it sets up a concept which we're all familiar with, and here's where it comes from. Yisroel afal pisha choto Yisroel hu. That no matter how bad a person is, if he's born of Jewish parents, he remains a Yid. He can schmatzer 50 times, and it makes no difference at all. A Yid is always a Yid. If you're born a Jew, you remain a Jew. Yisroel afal pisha choto Yisroel hu. No matter how wayward, no matter how far he's gone from the center, he always remains a Yid.
Why wasn't Yitzchak
mitzvah shleimo?
Sorry?
He didn't set up mitzvah shleimo. His doiras were not. He had an Esau. Therefore, Esau wasn't a Jew. He left the camp. Esau managed to get out of it. He wasn't a Yid. What? He was not Jewish. I'm sorry, but Esau, I don't think, was a Yid at all. Yitzchak was, but Esau was not considered a Yid. Whatever.
His parents were Jewish.
What do you say?
His parents were Jewish. Why
well, this is what we're saying. It's a Yishtalshu, it's a development. Avraham, first way, became a Yid, that's a Yid. Avraham's children weren't all Yid. Yishmael was not a Yid. Doesn't matter. But Lemaisa, the fact is that Yitzchak's children, one of them we consider Yid, keeping Yitzchak as one of those era, but nevertheless, Esau was never considered a Yid. I have no source that Esau was ever considered a Yid, gentlemen. Help me on this. I don't think we consider Esau a Yid. Agreed, but the fact is we have not yet established yet that every report from a Jewish mother is a Yid. That is being built. Presumably. But Esau was never considered a Yid. Kiddush Gomor, you know. So the only one who produces a Yid, all of them, was Yaakov.
What?
Yitzchak. Oh, so we've got but not Esau. That's right. Very good, right. So anyway, we have that. So with Yaakov, then we have that Shlomo, and everyone born then of a Jewish mother, Taki is a Yid. And so therefore we have it all now. We've got the Kiyum of Klal Yisrael with all those factors put together. So what's missing? There's nothing missing. Everyone born of a Yid is now a Yid, and therefore what's the problem? We'll always have Kiyum of Klal Yisrael. There is something missing. So we have Halacha, as we all know, Habo al Anochris, Vlodo Kemoiso. That if someone marries out, Chas v'Shalom, I'm afraid it's rampant in these days, we know, Habo al Anochris, Vlodo Kemoiso, there is still a possibility for the Yiddish folk to to go, what do we say, south, as they say, to actually disappear if Eugene decided, amazingly, if we sort of stretch our minds and marry out, assimilate, then that's the end of the Jewish people. This would be it. So with all the nice little factors that we've got with Avraham and Yitzchak and Yaakov, there's still something missing, that it could be that we won't have the strength to keep, you know, in the fold. And there we have the special merit of Yosef. Because we know from the Psukim tell us that with the Maisa of Eshes Potiphar, Vayonos Vayetze Hachutza, that Yosef ran out from that situation, ran away from that situation, and was never over an Avera. In fact, there's a Medrash. The Medrash Rabbah is in Pezayin, Kapitel Ches, when this Matronusa is a sort of high-born Roman lady, an aristocrat. She tackles Rav Yosi, one of the Tannoim, and she claims that the Torah tells tall stories. The Torah will cover up its heroes, and the Torah won't tell it as it is. Do you really think that a boy of 17, separated from home, away from his family, without any God, he would have actually been able to be nizer, to be able to not to succumb to this tremendous temptation? You go through Midrashim, where they explain the temptation was absolutely enormous. She says, this is impossible. The Torah is covering up. And so he brings Arias from all sorts of places. I'll read you the little shtickel. Matronusa Shonas of Yosi Omroloi, Efshi Yosi ben Uzain Shona Hoya Oime Bechol Chemoi Hoya Oisa Hadova Zer. Could he do that? Yeah, the Torah is telling stories to make him into a hero. But Lemaisa, it's the other way, something very different. Hoitzi Lefoneo Sefer Bereshis. So he, Rav Yosi, shows her Sefer Bereshis. Viskol Koira Foneo Masarubin Abilo. Yeah, the Torah tells it all as it is. Torah doesn't cover up on anybody. Masi Yehuda v'Talmo. Omalo ma im elush in gedoylim v'rishus aviyem lo yichisu aleim hakosav. Torah doesn't make any attempt to cover up on this. The Torah always tells about our averus. It's amazing, you know, our Bible is quite amazing. It's different from all the other so-called religious books. Yeah, in the New Testament, they don't have any criticism of Yoshki. Very relevant now, this season. Yeah, they have no criticism of Yoshki in the Quran. They don't have any criticism of Muhammad. Not a word of criticism. Our book, full of criticisms. Moshe Yisrael, yeah, you're not getting it at all for your merit, it's something else. Full of criticisms, non-stop. I might have said, you read this book, and you can think of your Baruch Shalom as a gross anti-Semit. Telling his little stories about Eden all the time. Torah never covers up. The Torah tells it as it is, and of course we learn from that. So he answered this Matronusa and told her, far from it. If the Torah says that Yosef ran out and didn't do the Avera, then that's the way it was. And therefore, what Yosef set up was a Shmira L'Doiros. He gave us something. He put something, a fact into Klal Yisrael that wasn't there before, that we could resist the temptations from the outside. And this, of course, was the protection of Klal Yisrael throughout the years. We know that, in fact, Klal Yisrael behaved in an amazing fashion throughout the years. The Shibud was terrible in Mitzrayim, as we're coming to in a couple of weeks. And the fact is that what Yosef did and what Yosef contributed was the ability of Klal Yisrael to find the strength in order that our nation should not be contaminated. We know, because the Torah tells us, and the Gemara points out, there was only one instance where somebody misbehaved themselves. Shloimeh Bas Divri was the only instance. And it's pointed out in order to make that factor more boiled, more contrasting, that all of Klal Yisrael managed to keep the nation safe, whereas in this one case he didn't. And this is a tremendous miracle in Surah. The Mitzrayim had complete shlita over Klal Yisrael, and yet Klal Yisrael managed to keep them out of their houses. In 2 weeks' time, we're going to nine parashas, Vo'ero. And in Vo'ero, we've got the Dalad L'Shoinei Gu'ulo. V'Hitzesi, V'Tzalti, V'Galti, V'Lekachti. I recommend, gentlemen, that you probably know it already, there's a fantastic Meshech Chokhmah on those couple of psukim. that tell you and explains how these four Lashonis are knitted into the Seder night. In other words, the four Koises, the Arba Koises, correspond to the Dalet Lashonis, and they are in the exact place in the Haggadah where they should be, where the story, that's a fantastic thing to say at the Seder, actually. Yeah? Say two one night, two the other night. It's a very, very nice shtickle. But I'll just tell you one. The first one, Boit Sesi, the way he explains it. Avadah, those Avor Lashoina Geula, are praise for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But he did this, did this, did this. But the way the Meshech Chochma puts it over is that it's also a tremendous praise for the way the Klal Yisrael behaved. As we've just sort of mentioned, how they managed to find the strength from Yosef HaTzadik, managed to find the strength to ensure that the nation was never contaminated. And he explains, and just say the one, Boit Sesi. He explains Boit Sesi, what's Pshat Boit Sesi? That Rebbein Shalom took Goy Mikerev Goy, extracted the Yidden. How could the Rebbein Shalom extract the Yidden when they're all mingled up? Like the time of Ezra, after the first base of Mikdosh, when Ezra was trying to get the people together to go to the second base of Mikdosh, to build the second base of Mikdosh, he made them bring their documents, you know, for the end of Kedushin, the end of Gemara Kedushin, Sex Kedushin, where he's got to get all their documents together, make sure they're Yidden. There was a whole mix-up, muddle-up, etc. But the Rebbein Shalom takes out Goy Mikerev Goy. And why could he do that, so to speak? Why could he do that? Because Klal Yisrael were pure. Klal Yisrael didn't allow any intermixing of the Egyptians. So therefore, it's a praise for Klal Yisrael, how they managed to keep shtark, how they managed to... And therefore, that enabled his loshen. It enabled Yitokin that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could do a Maisa of Oved Sesi. So it's one other little thing. Why is it with Kiddush? Why is the loshen of Oved Sesi with Kiddush? Because Kiddush is, of course, Kedusha, and Kedusha is always connected with Zahirus from Arayus. They always go together. Kedushin, for example, you've got all the Arayus there, you've got Kedushin, etc. It always goes together. Well, if we have Kedusha, that means there's Zoyim and Arayus. And forget, Zoyim and Arayus means we have Kedusha.
Kedushin.
Yeah?
It's Kedushin.
Kedushin, that's right. So we're making something Kedushin. That's why it's with Kiddush. Kiddush, Taka, Kedusha, and that's why it corresponds to Oved Sesi. That's just one. He goes a bit more. I strongly recommend this Meshech Chochma. So therefore, we have Yosef, who made Klal Yisrael, who was the Hashlama of Klal Yisrael, that we are now, so to speak, indestructible. Now, of course, we know that intermarriage is terrible, and it's a very, very high percentage of Klal Yisrael. But what he gave us was that there will always be a group, there will always be a certain percentage of Klal Yisrael that will keep strong, and that, of course, is the Kiyum of Klal Yisrael. The Kiyum of Klal Yisrael is not multitudes of people. The Kiyum of Klal Yisrael has always been taking a small part out of the large. Every single story, the Chanukah story, for example, a small band of people keeps strong, and the Rebbein Shloim then recreates it. Maybe I've seen this, but it's certainly a theory that one talks about the Holocaust. The Holocaust being a time, Klal Yisrael, a lot of it was killed, murdered, etc. What does the Rebbein Shalom do? The Rebbein Shalom treats Klal Yisrael through history in the same way every time. With Goyim, he allows them to reach a certain level of corruption, and then he wipes them off the face of history. Take all the big empires, yeah, the Roman Empire, Babylonian Empire, the Carthaginian Empire, all the empires, they rise and make a big noise and then they just disappear. Yeah, that's the way Rebbein Shalom does it. Yeah, that's where he runs history. These big empires have tremendous power and a lot of noise, but then they're wiped off. With Klal Yisrael, he behaves differently. It's Taka Posit Yilmiel. The way that Rebbein Shalom runs Jewish history is different. Where he runs, V'Yisarticha, I will pinig you, I will oppress you, but I'll never completely destroy you. So that's the way Rebbein Shalom behaves with Klal Yisrael, runs history of Klal Yisrael. He allows us a certain amount of corruption, if you like, deviation from the Torah, and he sends us into Golas, and then he redeems us from Golas, and then the whole thing repeats itself again and again and again. But he always extracts a certain group of people who remain loyal. Look what happened to during the Holocaust. I don't want to actually spend much time on this, but because we're actually running out of time. But Lamaisa, Rabbi Victor Miller, left a sefer book, after they found it after he died. And I heard Rabbi Miller talking about this back in the 70s, when these tapes started coming to England from America, we heard these wonderful shiurim from this Rabbi Avigdor Miller. And he explained then in one of the older shiurim that he gave, and then he published it in full in this book, Divine Madness. Yeah, Divine Madness. And he explained that we have this idea of Europe before the war being some sort of heaven, some sort of ruchniastika place. Yeah, we have Nachum Zember, the Chofetz Chaim, and other Gedolim. It's true, we did have those. But the vast number of Yidden, it was going steadily downhill. And Miller explains the way his Rebbe, his own Rebbe, took him on top of the hill, saw the Yidden going to work on Shabbos and Yom Tov, and the whole thing was going downhill. In fact, the predictions were that Klal Yisrael, as a frum, as an observant nation, won't last more than 50 years. Prediction was, it was all going downhill terribly at that time. And then, Holocaust. I can't explain why 6 million, I wouldn't even. But look at the result of 70 years, 80 years later. Look what Torah is doing in the world, in a network of schools in America, in Eretz Yisrael, even in England, and in other places. Torah is very, very vibrant. That's the way that Rabbi Einstein runs his history as far as the Eden are concerned. You know, he allows us, so to speak, a certain license, and then says, enough is enough. I'm going to make an exile. I'm going to make something, and the Tochocho is going to visit you. And then after that, I will extract a new nation and rekindle the fire of the nation. There's a whole rebirth. There's a rebirth of Klal Yisrael. Tremendous. We can see, actually, a Kiyum. Torah is very, very vibrant around the world. So that's the way the Rosh Hashanah does it for Yidden, very, very different from Goyim. And that's where we see that what Yosef did was this tremendous, tremendous contribution to Klal Yisrael, that we are able to keep this Havdalah, this separation. And that was his Mila, the Mila that the Maharal was talking about. He was sent to Mitzrayim because of his Ma'alosei, because he had this Mila that the Eden would be different and that they would be able to keep the Havdalah from the Goyim in such a way to keep the nation together. You are Am Kodesh, and you've no business with Goyim, to be too close with them. And therefore, that's what brought about the Kedusha of Vayonos Hachutza, that when the time comes when we are in terrible danger, that we can run outside. This ignited the Kedusha, and that's what made Yosef the Lahovo against Esau, the flame and the torch against Esau, that we can always battle, we can always win our battles. And that's why the Pasuk says, Ben Poyos Yosef, the fruit of Yaakov is Ben Poyos Yosef, in connection with the Golas Mitzrayim. He became the one who brought Kedusha to Klal Yisrael, and therefore became the Sitnoi Shel Esau. So we have this Mala, we also have the contribution of Yosef, we've got the Kiyum of Klal Yisrael, and therefore we ought to capitalize on it, and we ought to make sure that we are this people, Am Hashem, Am Kodesh, that we understand where it came from. Yosef has the special schus, and therefore this is Klal Yisrael's duty to make sure that we keep up our side of the bargain at all times.